Good morning. Great to be here today, to see all the people that are here, all the brethren that love each other and love the Lord and come to sing praises to each other. Thank you, Barry. The words of the songs you selected this morning were very meaningful. I appreciate that. And Greg, appreciated your words, and since you started a good sermon in Colossians 3, we'll just preach from there. We've been talking about Colossians. Colossians 1, we see Paul prayed for the brethren, the passage that Isaac just read, the things Paul prayed for him, and then he talks about the supremacy of Jesus over everything. He speaks of Jesus, in whom are all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge hidden. He speaks of Jesus in everything. And he tells us in chapter 2, 8 and following the things we are to avoid. And he gets to chapter 3. And then he'll tell us from 3 down to the end of the book, the life of a Christian. The life of a Christian that's away from the false teaching that he talked about before. He's going to tell you to look to Jesus. That's the cure to every problem. The cure to all false doctrine, look to Jesus. The false to all disease, physically or spiritually, look to Jesus. The answer to everything, look to Jesus. Have I ever told you before that nothing of value is outside of Jesus? Everything is in Christ. We're not going to have time to preach the third chapter, that's for sure. So we'll talk about the first four verses mostly, and then try to quickly read through some of the rest of it, at least down to 17. Chapter 3, verse 1. He says, if therefore you're raised together with Christ, seek the things that are above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things that are above and not the things on the earth. For you died, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, shall be manifest, then shall you also be manifest with him in glory. Great passage. This is the counterpart to what was started in chapter 2:20. Chapter 2:20 says, if you died with Christ from the rudiments of the world, why, as though living in the world, do you subject yourselves to ordinances? Handle not, nor taste, nor touch, all which things are to perish with the using, after the doctrines and the precepts of men. Which things have indeed a show of wisdom and will worship, severity to the body, and are not of any value. I left out humility, didn't I? Are not of any value against the indulgences of the flesh. All those things are of no value. Now he says, if you were raised together with Christ, seek the things that are above. Raised together with Christ. He's talking about the time when we were baptized. He's talking about the time we took the dead man in sin and buried him, and then he's raised with Christ to live eternally. Romans 6, 3 and 4. Are you ignorant that many people were baptized into Christ, were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him. That's chapter 2:20. We were buried, therefore, with him through baptism unto death. Then chapter 3:1 here. Like as he was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, so also we should walk a newness of life. For if we were united with him in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. He mentioned the same thing in chapter 2 that we talked about the last time that I spoke. He says in 11, after he taught, well, we'll start in 9. In verse 9, he says, in Christ dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. In him are you made full, who is the head of all principalities and powers. Then he speaks about what we're talking about here. Chapter 2:20, you died with Christ. Chapter 3, verse 1, you were raised together with Christ. He says in verse 11, and you were in whom you were circumcised with a circumcision not made with hands, in the putting off of the body of the flesh, in the circumcision of Christ. How's that take place? Having been buried with him in baptism, wherein you were raised together with him through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. Now we look at things in a total different light. The dead man's gone. The live man lives eternally. And he says, we look at Jesus and we have a new outlook on life. We view things different. We make different judgments now, where we give now instead of get. We serve now instead of lording over people. We forgive now rather than avenging ourselves for the evils done to us. It's the opposite of all the things that we read in chapter 2, 8 and following. Chapter 2, 8, he says, take heed, lest there be anyone make spoil of you through his philosophy and vain deceit, after the traditions of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. That whole realm has passed away from us now. We live in Christ. There can be no material solutions to the spiritual ill. Cannot be done. Everything that's of value will be done in Christ. Don't go digging cisterns like the Judean brethren. Judah was warned by Jeremiah. Jehovah says unto them in chapter 2, verse 13, says, my people have committed two errors. They have forsaken me, the fountain of the water of life, and hewn themselves cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. Everything that's done in chapter 2, 8 and following, they're building broken cisterns. They can hold no water. We have the fountain of the water of life. All we have to do is go to the fountain. And he tells you in 2 Corinthians 5:17, he said, if any man's in Christ, he is a new man. Old things are passed away. Behold, they're become new. We are new people. The old man has been buried. We can now use all the power of God in the power that he resurrected Christ. And he goes on to say, if you are raised together with Christ, seek the things that are above where Christ is. Seek the things that are at. Seek is a present imperative. That means it is a commandment, but its present tense means it's continual action. You continually be seeking the things that are above. To be seeking, that is to pursue after something, to chase after it. We're to give our lives to seeking the things that are above. That is a commandment. If anyone amongst us is not actively seeking the things that are above, he is a sinner. Because that's a commandment, to be seeking the things that are above. We seek them. We seek them because we desire all that's there. We desire to know all the glory. We desire to know God. We desire to know Jesus. We desire to know all the heavenly things. We're seeking to be just like Jesus. Paul, Philippians 3, after he spoke of all the things he had to brag about, being a Jew and being a Pharisee. He gets to verse 7. He says, how be it? What things were gained to me, these have I counted loss for Christ. Yea, verily I have count all things to be lost for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I suffer the loss of all things and do count them but refuge. Why? That I might gain Christ and be found in him. Not having a righteousness of my own, even that's through law, but that's through faith in Christ, the righteous from God by faith. Now listen, how desperately Paul wanted to know Jesus, that I might know him. The power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his suffering, being conformed unto his death, if by any means I may obtain unto a resurrection from the dead. Paul said he wanted to know Jesus. He wants to know the power of the resurrection. He wants to have fellowship with his suffering. He wants to know him. He wants to be conformed into his death, that he might be counted worthy to be resurrected with Jesus. He says, seek the things that are above. We want to seek everything through the eyes of Jesus. We want to hear everything through the ears of Jesus. We want every word to come out of our mouth through the mouth of Jesus. All of our actions through the actions of Jesus. We are Jesus incarnate on this world. We are here in the place of Jesus so everybody around us can see Jesus when they see us in our life. Seek the things that are above where Christ is. That's where Christ is. He's up above. He's in the throne room. He is in heaven. He sits on the throne and he rules this universe. There is no tomb. Our Lord lives. Amen. Buddhist. From India, China, Nepal, Burma, Thailand, Cambodia, Laos, Vietnam. They all claim to have artifacts of Buddha. And they set these things up and they worship him. And they bow down and worship a dead man. The Muslim religion. Every year they have a pilgrimage to Mecca. And what do they go there for? When it's time for the Muslims to go, you have a hard time getting within a mile of the airport in Phuket, Thailand. Because all the Muslims are swarming. They're trying to get to Mecca. And what are they going to do there? They're going to bow down in Mecca to a big tomb of Muhammad, a dead man. But our Lord lives. Don't carry any wreaths to any grave of our Lord. Don't plant flowers around his tomb because he's not there. When the first people went to the grave, they went to the tomb of Jesus. They went there, the stone was rolled back. They went there to anoint the body, the dead body. And who'd they meet there? A couple angels. And what'd they say? You seeking Jesus? He's not here. He has risen. Our Lord lives. So he says, if you've been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above where Christ is. That's where he is, seated at the right hand of God. He rules this universe. Shouldn't have been any surprise to the Jews to find out that Jesus sits at the right hand of God. They've been told that throughout all their history. 600 years before Christ was born, Daniel stands before Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, and he interprets a dream that he has, and he spoke of, in this dream, he spoke of the Babylonian Empire, the Medo-Persian Empire, the Grecian Empire, and the Roman Empire. And he says in chapter 244, in the days of these kings, the days of the Roman kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom that shall never be destroyed, nor shall the sovereignty be left to another people. But it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms. And it shall stand forever. Our Lord sits at the right hand of God. And before that, 740 years before Christ, Isaiah said the same thing. Isaiah says in 9, 6, and 7, he says, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. That's talking about the cross where he's given, huh? And the government shall be upon his shoulders. And the name of him shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And the increase of his government and his peace shall never end. Setting on the throne of David in his kingdom to establish it, to uphold justice and righteousness henceforth, even forever. He sits there forever. You can go back 1,000 years before Christ when David was writing the Psalms. He says in chapter 2, about verse 6, he says, yet have I set my king upon my holy hill, Zion. I'll tell you the decree Jehovah said unto me, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. Ask of me, and I'll give unto you the nations for your inheritance, the uttermost part of the world for your possession. You shall break them with a rod of iron and dash them to pieces as a potter's vessel. Our Lord sits at the right hand of God. He goes on in Psalms 110. Said, Jehovah said unto my Lord, set thou at my right hand till I make all your enemies the footstool of your feet. Jehovah shall send forth the rod of his power out of Zion. Rule thou in the midst of thine enemies. Thy people offer themselves willingly in the day of thy power in royal array. Out of the womb of the morning thou hast the dew of thy strength. Jehovah has sworn and will not repent. Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. That's our Lord. He sits at the right hand of God. He rules. He says, all authority has been given me in heaven and on earth. Everything. Every star would go out in a minute if Jesus didn't sustain it. Every dog that barks would be silent if Jesus didn't tell it to bark. He rules everything. He sits at the right hand of God and he says, you seek him. He reigns supreme over everything, as we saw in chapter 1, verse 15 through 19. He is the only redeemer in chapter 1, 20 through 22. He is the treasure of all wisdom, and knowledge is hidden in him in 2, 3. He is the image of the invisible God. He is the fullness of the Godhead bodily in 2, 9. He is the fullness of us, he says, in whom you are made full in chapter 2, verse 10, who is the head of all principalities and powers. He is over everything. And he rules it all for us. Therefore, God will tell us in Romans 8, verse 31, if God is for you, who can be against you? He who spared not his only son, how shall he not with him freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It's him that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It's Christ that died, yea, rather was raised from the dead, and is at the right hand of God, who makes intercession for us. All these passages tell us he's at the right hand of God, and he's there making intercession for us. Our Lord lives. And he reigns supreme over everything for us. And not only does he reign, he gives the rule to us. Ephesians 6, 2, verse 6. Says he, that's God, he raised us up with him, Christ. Made us to sit with him in the heavenly places in Christ. Our Lord sits at the right hand of God, and to sit at the right hand means to exercise all of their power. He rules this universe, and he gives us the pleasure of ruling with him. We sit in Christ, and we rule. We rule Alaska. I don't care what those politicians do. We rule the United States. We rule the world, and if we're not ruling, we're living less than our privilege. Because God says he raised us up to sit with Christ in the heavenly places in Jesus. And we rule with all the power of God. He says, if you go back a chapter in Ephesians 1, we'll start in 18. He says in 18, he prays for them that they'd have the eyes of their heart enlightened, that they might know what is the hope of their calling, that they might know the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Now verse 19, what the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe, according to the work of the strength of his might, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and made him to sit at his right hand in the heavenly places far above all rule and authority. Power and dominion above every name that's named, not only in this world, but in that which is to come. That's the power that we rule with. And we rule with Jesus. He said, set your mind on the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Verse 2. Set your mind on the things that are above, not the things that are upon the earth. Set your mind. Guess what we have there? Another present imperative. That's another present verb. That means it's a continual action verb. And it's a command. Set your mind on the things that are above, not the things that are upon the earth. Set your minds, devote yourselves to these totally. Not the things we read in chapter 2, 8 and following. Not the philosophies, not the vain deceit of men, not the tradition of men, not the rudiments of the world, not legalism, not ceremonialism, not mysticism, nothing that has to do with material. That's all of the earth. He says, get rid of that stuff. Set your mind on the things that are above. set your mind on one thing. Luke 10. Jesus comes to the house of Martha and Mary. Martha's trying to serve everybody. Mary's just sitting there at his feet listening. Martha comes to Jesus and says, "Do you not care that my sister Mary has left me to serve alone?" And what's Jesus' answer? "Martha, Martha, you are anxious and worried about many things, but one thing is needful. And Mary has chosen the better part. And it will not be taken from her." What was the matter with Martha? She was worried and anxious about many things. Mary was anxious about one thing. Jesus tells you on the Sermon on the Mount, chapter 6, 22. Jesus says there, "The lamp of the body is the eye, and if thy eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light." Here he says, set your mind on the things above. He just got through saying in the same Sermon on the Mount, chapter 5, verse 8. He says, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." The pure is from the word that means it is not mixed. It's not alloyed. It's a pure thing. Blessed is that pure heart. It's got his eyes set on Jesus. It's looking to Jesus. He says, set your mind right there. Not the things on the earth. Listen, our body is to be used. It's not to be worried over. No matter what you have, don't worry about it. It's just in your flesh. It can't hurt you. It's going to die anyway. Don't worry about your body. Talking to a sweet lady a few days ago. Talking about worrying about different things. About flying, about this, about that, and everything. And what we need to remember is you cannot die until God's ready for you to die. So don't sweat it. And if God's ready for you to die, you're going that day. So don't worry about that either. See, that's one of the greatest victories in the world. You don't have to worry about anything. Just get your mind on Christ. And quit worrying about trash. Set your mind on the things that are above. Seek the things that are above. This body is just to be used. Listen, if that airplane goes down next week between here and Taipei, or between Taipei and Bangkok, or Bangkok and Phuket, well, just thank God. Penny and my work is finished and we went home. We're not concerned about it, so nobody needs to be concerned about it. It's a wonderful day, the day we get to leave this life and go home. Psalms 116:15, I think it is, says, "Precious in the sight of Jehovah is the death of his saints." That's homecoming. So don't worry about this body. Just use this body for God, because we're all going to die anyway. Paul says, "I faint not. Though my outward man is decaying, yet is the inward man being renewed day by day. For our light affliction..." Do you think Paul had some light affliction? Read chapter 11 of that same book. We're in 2 Corinthians 4. "For our light affliction, which is for the moment, worketh for us more and more exceedingly an eternal weight of glory. For we look not at the things that are seen, but the things that are not seen. For the things that are seen are temporal, but the things that are not seen are eternal." Where you got your eyes today? If you're raised with Christ, seek the things that are above where Christ is. Seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things that are above and not the things that are upon the world. Verse 3. For you died. What did I just tell you? You're going to die anyway, huh? "For you died and your life is hid with Christ in God." We're in Christ. We have died to everything. We've died to all that stuff he talked about in chapter 2. We've died from philosophies, from vain deceits of men, from tradition of men, from rudiments of the world, from all that stuff, even from religions that are worldly religion. We died to all that stuff, and we are hid. Our life is hid with Christ in God. Just like Paul said, Galatians 2:20, a passage you hear often. Paul says, I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I that live, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith. The faith in the Son of God who gave his life for me, who loved me and gave his life up for me. Crucified. Paul says in 6:14 of Galatians, far be it from me to glory, save in the cross of Christ, for which I was crucified into the world, and the world was crucified unto me. He also says in Galatians, since we're in Galatians, chapter 5, verse 24. Chapter 5, 24 of Galatians. He says, they that are of Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and its lust thereof. We are a crucified people. We're a dead people fleshly. We live spiritually and we live eternally. Nothing can get in our way. Listen, we're hidden in Christ. We're hidden with Christ in God. We have been there being God's chosen from before eternity throughout all eternity. He says in Ephesians 1, he chose us in him. That's he. God chose us in him, Christ. Before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy without blemish before him in love. Then he tells us in Romans 6:8, if we died with Christ, we believe we shall live with Christ from eternity to eternity. Our souls has been hidden in Christ. And that soul that's in Christ is totally protected. It is totally indestructible and it lives eternally. Listen, Jesus said in John 10, where he's been talking about him being the shepherd, the great shepherd of the sheep who laid his life down for him. When he gets over to 27, he says, my sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. And I shall give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No man can take them and snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who gave them unto me, is greater than all, and nobody is able to snatch them out of his hand. What Jesus gave us is indestructible. It is eternal. We live with Jesus. We live with him forever. I started a while ago. We started in Romans 8. We read 31 to 34. Let's start in 35 and finish the chapter. Where he talks about where we started. If Christ is God's for us, who can be against us? Then he says in verse 34, speaking of Christ who is at the right hand of God, makes intercession for us. Now starting the next verse. He says, who can separate us from the love of Christ? Can tribulation or anguish, persecution or famine, nakedness, peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we're killed all the day long, we're counted as sheep for the slaughter. Talking about all these terrible things. Who can separate us from the love of Christ? He says, nay, in 37. Nay, in all these things, you're more than conquerors. In him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers nor height nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. We win. It doesn't make any difference what it looks like. It doesn't make any difference if God flushes this nation plumb out of here. We win. We can't lose because our security is bound up in he that rules the world. Then he says, when? When Christ, I'm in verse 4 now. When Christ, who is our life, shall be manifested, then shall we also be manifested with him in glory. We're now hidden. But then our glory will shine before everybody. The world doesn't understand our closeness with Christ. They don't understand any of our motives for what we do because they don't know God and they don't know Christ. But boy, that day they're going to know. They're going to see us with all the glory of Christ. And he's telling us this because he's going to raise our dead bodies also. We're already going to live forever. He'll tell you in John 11:25 and 26. We're never going to die, but our body is. But he tells you in Romans 8, verses 10 and 11. He says, if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin. This body is dead because of sin. But your spirit is alive because of righteousness. But if the spirit of him that raised Christ from the dead dwelleth in you, he that raised Christ from the dead shall give life unto your mortal bodies through the spirit that lives in you. We live eternally. He's going to resurrect our dead bodies, and it's going to join in with an immortal body that's going to live with it. That body is going to be exactly what Jesus is now. Whatever Jesus is now, that's what we're going to be. Not the God part. We're not going to be God, as some people falsely teach. But we're going to be the man part. Jesus is still man, he tells you in 1 Timothy 2:5. Where he says there's one God and one mediator between God, himself, man, between man and God, himself, man, Jesus Christ. Whatever Jesus is now, we're going to be. Tells you that in the Philippians 3, 20, 21. He says our citizenship, he'd been talking about the other people. Then he says our citizenship is in Christ, whence we wait for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall fashion the body of our humility into the body of his glory, according to the working whereby he is able to subject all things unto himself. That's what Paul said about it. What did John say about our bodies? In 1 John 3. 1 John 3:1 says, behold, what manner of love has the Father bestowed upon us, that we should be called children, and such we are. For this cause the world knows us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now you are children of God, and it's not been manifest what you shall be, but when he shall be manifest, that's what he's talking about here in 4, when Christ, who is our life, shall be manifest. But if he shall be manifest, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And anyone that has this hope set upon him purifieth himself even as he is pure. Set your mind on Christ. Get rid of anything that's hindrance. Because Jesus says in John 17, the whole chapter is his prayer. When he ends it up, when he gets down to 24, he says, Father, I desire that they whom you have given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory. It's all ours. Then he goes back in 5 and following and talk about that hidden life. We're going to be receiving all of his glory when he comes. But now, he says, he'll tell you, put to death, therefore, this is the hidden life, huh? The hidden with Christ and God. Put to death, therefore, 5 things. Put to death, therefore, your bodies which are upon the earth. Fornication, uncleanness, passions, evil desires, covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things sake cometh the wrath of God upon the sons of disobedience. Wherein you once walked when you lived in these things, but now do you put them all away. 6 things. Anger, wrath, malice, railing, shameful, speaking out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing you have put off the old man with his doing. Have put on the new man that's being renewed unto the knowledge of him who created him. Where there cannot be Jew nor Greek, circumcision, uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond and freeman, but all is in Christ and in all. Then he'll tell you, put on, therefore, as God's beloved, holy and beloved, as God's elect, 7 things. Put on a heart of compassion, kindness, lowliness, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, forgiving one another. If any man hath a complaint against any, even as the Lord forgave you, so also do ye. Then he says, and above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfectness. A bond means that which holds it all together. These 7 things that you put on, being the chosen of God, then you put on love and it binds it all together. Then he says, let the peace of Christ dwell in your heart, richly being in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual song, singing with grace in your heart unto God. Now listen to 17 and we'll quit. Whatever you do, whatsoever you do, that doesn't leave out anything, brother. Whatsoever you do in word or in deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks unto God the Father through Him. We live. Christ lives. We have a risen Savior. We have life eternal. Listen, if anybody is in this room that has not been seeking the things that are above, that hasn't set their mind on the things that are above, you need to come forward today and need to get your life right with Christ and with God. Rededicate yourself to the Lord. And if anybody's out here that's not even in the Lord, that's not hidden in Christ, come to Jesus. He's the one that we said in chapter 2, He will circumcise the flesh of your body. He'll cut off all your sins when you're baptized with Him and raised with Him, and you'll live eternally. Listen, don't leave if you're not in Christ. Come right now while we're standing and singing.